Welcome to this inspirational teaching of Celebration Sisterhood.
Welcome to Sisterhood Mornings. It's so nice to see all of you. All right, so what does it mean to have big love, big life? First of all, what it means to have a big life, it means that we are able to reflect the love and the glory of God, that we are producing spiritual fruit, abundant fruit. That's what I mean by when I talk about big love, big life. In John 15:5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit." You see, God wants us to have a big life, and he wants us to have big love, and he wants us to produce big, abundant fruit. And if you were to read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, you'd see there's a whole scenario that goes around that. It says that God is the gardener, and he prunes us, and he cuts us, and he works in our life so that we can keep bearing much fruit. How many of you like to garden? Or you've ever cut a branch or a tree or fruit or anything, and you know that it grows back, and each time it has a season, it goes through the seasons of life, and it grows back. And if you don't prune off the fruit at some point, that branch will die. If it keeps that fruit on there, eventually it'll die. So when God prunes us, it's to bear more and abundant fruit. And that's what we're talking about today. So let's talk about big for a minute, because I know the word big for some of you, it means something totally different. I can say big, and each one of us in this room will have a different context in which we think about that word. For some women, they don't particularly like the word big. Maybe they like the word small better. And so I just want to talk to you a minute. Like, some things are actually not good big, if you know what I'm talking about. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? All right, can you get my hint? All right, so when I say big life, I'm not talking about physically speaking. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. You see, because what God does and what God is big. God is big. And whether we think, oh, I just want a small, quiet life, if I could just raise us four and no more, and just enjoy peace and quiet. Come on now, Jesus didn't die for that. Jesus died on the cross and set us free from our sin so that we could have a big, abundant, fruit-filled life for him. Amen. Come on now, y'all should have clapped or cheered or something for that. Wake up, ladies. Wake up. So when I say big, when it comes to God, bigger is better. God is huge. Just think about all the things that God created. He created the world, the universe, the solar system, the star, the sun, the moon, the galaxies, the oceans. He created everything. All of that is big, and it was just a breath that he breathed, and boom, it was created. And to think that we contain that seed of God on the inside of us, God just wants to release little bits of himself into bigness, into our lives. So God is big. He's very big. So does God want us to have a big life or a small life? Does he want us to bear big fruit or small fruit? Come on, think about that for a minute. When we think about being able to control and contain our lives, when we think about how many of you at the beginning of the year buy a new calendar? And you like get so fired up because you're like, I know what I'm doing January, February. And you plan the whole year, and you've got everybody's birthdays down and all the anniversaries down and what you're doing this month and what you're doing that month, and you feel in control. Come on now. Who has control issues like me? All right now. So that in a sense is and can be limiting to a small life. To say, this is my life and I can plan it and it's all on paper. But sometimes we just need to throw that calendar out the window and say, God, I know that when I wake up every day, you have something big and amazing for me. And I'm going to make room for you in my life today. Make room for you in my whole year. Whatever you want, God, have your way with me. Because I tell you, the plan of God for our lives cannot be contained in a calendar. It can't be contained in what we can control. If we always have to feel in control, then we will live a small life. Amen. But God has a big, abundant life. And the truth is, when it comes to producing fruit, we aren't in control. You see, we can't produce fruit. The only way we can produce fruit is by plugging in to the vine. Because those who abide in Christ produce much fruit. It's actually His DNA. It's His living water that flows through us that produces the life and the fruit in our lives. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It'll also be on the screen. I'm going to read from the Message Bible, so it might seem a little different from yours if you don't read out of the Message Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. It says, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Wow, isn't that powerful? He says we should enter this wide open, spacious life, and that we didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. And you know what that says to me? Is that we are our own limiters to the bigness that God wants to do in our life. You see, God, if He could be fully released, if He could have full control, we would have huge lives for His glory. And I'm not talking about a bigger house, a bigger car, more money, a Prada purse, Gucci glasses. No, I'm not talking about material things. I'm not talking about what the world has to offer and says this is what a big life means. I'm talking about Book of Acts type stuff. I'm talking about miracles, signs and wonders. I'm talking about when you walk in a room, people say, uh-oh, the presence of God just showed up. You know, I'm talking about when someone is sick and your prayer of faith touches them and reaches them. That you can work with people that are not saved, that don't know Jesus, and they can read Jesus by watching your life. That's what a big life is. Spiritual and abundant fruit. It is not material things. It is about the power of God working and flowing and producing spiritual fruit in our lives. So what does this wide open, spacious life mean to us? Well, I can tell you that it means something different for each one of us in this room. We are all unique. We are all daughters of the King, and we all have a unique, specific assignment that God has placed on our life. So my wide open, spacious life is different from yours. And your wide open, spacious life is different from the woman sitting next to you. Because God may call some women to stay at home and raise their kids, and that is their wide open, spacious life. And God may call other women to stay single to serve God on the mission field. And God may call other women to be leaders in business community and reach others. And God may call other women to be doctors and lawyers. And you see, it's all about Him and His plan and what He wants to do, what He's predestined for us to do. And that bigness is controlled by how much surrender we have to Him. You see, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, in the Amplified, it says this, for we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship. The NIV says we are His masterpiece, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined. He planned beforehand. He planned them before we were even born for us to do. Taking paths which He predestined ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. You see, it is a good life when we're walking in the predestined plan of God, because that good life is accompanied by peace, is accompanied by joy, It's accompanied by the supernatural strength and power of God. And that doesn't mean that we won't have challenges to face and struggles and trials that we have to walk through. We do have to walk through those things even though we are in the perfect will of God. But the Bible says, "Fear not, I have overcome the world." And as we plug into Him, He will give us everything we need to come out victorious. So our wide open, spacious life will look different. But all of our goal, all of us, should be to live for the glory of God. And it's very important, ladies, that we don't fall into the trap of comparing what season of life each of us are in or what that wide open, spacious life is looking like for our neighbors, for our sisters. Come on now, that's one of the traps of the enemy, is to get the women in the church to be in competition and to compare ourselves to one another and say, well, why does she not have to work and I do have to work? And why does she have that gift and why I don't have that gift? Why does she get those opportunities? Why did she get promoted and I didn't? Why does she cute and petite like that and I'm not? And why this and why that? Why does her husband love God and mine doesn't? Why is she married and I'm not? Why are her kids well-behaved and mine aren't? Come on now. If we waste so much time, wasting time comparing ourselves about, well, why is her life bigger than mine? Come on now. You could be living in the big life and not even know it. Right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Where are you at right now? That could be the big life, but you don't see it. You don't recognize it. Your spiritual eyes aren't tuned in, that you're right in the will of God and you don't even know it. Come on, let the Holy Spirit reveal to you where you're at, what season you're in. And if you get your eyes off of others and get your eyes on Him, He will let you know where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing. And He will empower you and He will release you. You know, the way God works is he builds. He builds from what's already there. And He's already, just like it says in Ephesians 2, you've been predestined. He's already put on the inside of you every single thing that you need to accomplish His will for your life. You don't have to go out and seek it, search it, beg for it, plead for it. It's already there in a seed form. You have to rest and receive and enjoy and walk out the call of God on your life. Amen? Amen. All right. So back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about, Paul said, we didn't fence you in. What does that mean? That means in our own minds, we have barriers. We have boundaries. We have fences in our mind that block us from the things of God, that block us from that big life. And I want to describe for you what some of those could be and see if these run true in your own life. I've already talked about the first one, comparing ourselves to others. That's a huge fence. Another one would be insecurity and fear. You know, insecurity and fear is a fence in our mind. Honestly, it's not God's will. God doesn't want us insecure. Sometimes women think, I need to be humble. I need to be sweet. I need to be bashful and shy. Oh, come on now. You need to be a victorious warrior for God, courageous in Him, full of the Holy Ghost, full of fire. That's how you need to act. Get rid of that fear. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. That's right. A lack of purpose and direction. That's another fence. It's a lack of purpose. Maybe you haven't listened to God or felt Him put upon you that Ephesians 2:10 that says you've been predestined for good works. You haven't tapped into that, but God has it ready for you. Another fence is past hurt, guilt, shame, abuse, something that has maybe happened to you in your life, a tragedy, that can become a limiter. It can become a fence. It can hold you back from the big life. And God will go back into time and heal that place. He shed His blood and His body was broken. He was pierced for our transgressions, wounded for our sins and our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace is upon him. He paid the penalty for our sins and the sins of others. And anyone who has hurt you or any tragedy you've been through, Jesus already paid for that. And when we bring it under the blood, we receive healing and forgiveness. Fourthly is unconfessed sin or emotional bondage. Unconfessed sin will hinder us from living that big life. And emotional bondage is the result of years and years of either offense or pain or unconfessed sin. So these things are the things that cause us to live a small life. And I'm so glad I saw you writing those down, because we need to do a checklist all the time. We need to do a checklist, just like it says in John 15 where God prunes us. Sometimes we need to test our own heart. Sometimes we need to prune ourselves and say, uh-oh, that's dead fruit. Let me get that out. Because you want to produce more. So get rid of those limiting things. The goal of every Christian woman should be to have big love and a big life. It's not wrong to have godly ambition. I know sometimes we think, you know, I should just want to be peaceful and quiet and sweet and all these things. And that's great. And yes, you should be that. But when the presence of God touches you, and when you've been healed and you've been set free and you've been delivered, and you have a revelation, like Ephesians 2:10 says, a revelation of the purpose and the predestined call of God on your life, all of a sudden you don't act sweet and all petite anymore. You are like a ball of fire that just wherever you go, you're looking for people to minister to. You're looking to set people free. It's like you stuck your finger in a light socket, and you know what I'm saying? You're just on fire for God. And that's good. So that should be our goal. But before we can have the big love and the big life, we first need to experience the big love that God has for us, because we can't give away what we don't have. And sometimes we leak. Isn't that true? Come on, you can have experienced God's love one day and the next day completely forget about it, because we leak. The Bible says that the mercies of God are new and afresh every morning. And God provides daily bread. Daily bread. And when we need to go to God daily to get filled up, because we leak. Just like we have to eat every day. We have to drink water every day. We expend energy. We burn up the food. Amen? Well, when we receive the love of God, we should be taking that as fuel, like a car, like you fill up your gas tank, you go somewhere, you're out of gas. Okay, that's how we are spiritually. We fill up on the love of God, and it's what empowers us to go serve him. And then we find ourselves empty again because we've just expended all that energy serving him. So we have to come back into the presence of God and get refilled up so we can go out and do it again. Psalm 103, verse 7 through 17 in the Message, it says this: God is sheer mercy and grace. Not easily angered, he is rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag or scold, nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is above the earth, so strong is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the sunrise is from the sunset, he has separated us from our sins. As parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. He knows us inside and out, keeps in mind that we are made of mud. God's love, though, is ever and always eternally present to all who fear him. Come on, I don't know how long it's been since you've experienced the love of God, but just meditate on that passage of Scripture. God is sheer mercy and grace. He is sheer mercy and grace. He's not easily angered. He is rich in love. God loves us so much, so much more. It describes it beautifully here. He says, as a parent feels for their children, God feels for us. And I know how much I love mine. I know I would give anything for my children. I love them so much. But the love of God is so much more powerful than we could ever even think or imagine. And sometimes we don't live that big life because we are not operating underneath the covering of his love. The Bible says that his banner over me is love. The banner over us is love. When God looks down upon humanity, he sees the blanket of the blood of Jesus, the love of God. And it is the enemy who tries to get us to think that we're unlovable, that we have sinned too much, we're too far from God, he's mad at us, he's disappointed at us. We get this perfectionistic spirit upon us that I have to please God, I have to do this, that, and I just can't measure up. That is from the flesh, and that's from the enemy. If we could just listen to the word and receive it, we would know that we don't have to be perfect, and we never will be. That he's already done everything to make us right in his own eyes. We just need to accept what Jesus has done and let God's love fill us up. And when we get filled up like that, we then are able to do those good works that God has for us. All right. So what happens to women who try to live the big life without the love of God? That's a really good question. What happens to women who try to live this big life without the love? First of all, they are in competition with the world. Big time. Let's see what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16. In verses 24 through 26, he's teaching his disciples about ambition. And he says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any of you wants to be my followers, you must first turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?'" You see, women who seek after that big life without being motivated and filled and empowered by the love of God, they end up losing their soul. And that is the state of many women. Many women, unfortunately, these days are in great peril. Christine Kane says in her book, on page 11 of the book that we're going to study, this is what Christine Kane says. She says, "Women today are facing unprecedented challenges as our roles and influence continue to expand. Not all that long ago, the role of a woman was generally defined by the boundaries of her home, but today we have much more active roles to play in all aspects of society. Not only are we sister, daughter, wife, and mother, but we are also teacher, salesperson, doctor, lawyer, politician, activist, business owner, writer, athlete, administrator, and the list goes on. More than ever before, we women are navigating through increasingly amounts of responsibility, activity, scheduling, and multitasking. And we need some answers about how to live and how to do it all in life." That's how she starts off her book. And that is the state of most women who are trying to do it all. They feel the pressure of marriage and family and kids and career and society and what the world says is a successful life. Doing that without the love of God causes us to lose soul. It is very painful. Listen to what Marcus Buckingham has to say about that. He's an author and a researcher. He spent 20 years with the Gallup poll. He says this in his book, the Find Your Strongest Life. "Not only is this tough life significantly tougher on women than it is on men, but the advances of the last 40 years were supposed to have changed things for the better. The hard-won rights, opportunities, and advances were supposed to have netted women more than just to put a burden on them. They were supposed to have fostered in each woman feelings of fulfillment and happiness. This hasn't happened. The conclusion is hard to escape. Over the last 40 years, life has not become more fulfilling to women. It has, in every way we can measure, become more draining instead. To use Thomas Jefferson's words, the women now have the liberty to choose whatever life they'd like. They are struggling in their pursuit of the happy life. And that, I believe, we can go right back to Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus says, take up my cross. If you live for yourself, you will lose your soul. If you live for him, you not only keep your soul, you gain eternal life. You gain the biggest life possible. And there's nothing wrong with wanting success. There's nothing wrong with wanting the big life. As long as you are surrendered to God and you are walking in that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 principle of I'm walking in the predestined good works that God has for me. Amen? Let me read to you something from Marcus Buckingham's book here. It's 10 Myths on Women. It's going to be on the screen here so you can follow along. The first one is 10 Myths about the Lives of Women. As a result of having better education, better jobs, and better pay, women today are happier and more fulfilled than they were 40 years ago. What do y'all think? No? Here's what he says. Actually, the opposite is true. Surveys of more than 1.3 million men and women reveal that women today are less happy relative to where they were 40 years ago and relative to men. Number two, women become more engaged and fulfilled as they get older. No, actually, men do. According to a 40-year study of 46,000 men and women, women begin their lives more satisfied than men and then gradually become less satisfied with every aspect of their lives, marriage, finances, things they own, even family. Number three, at work, women are relegated to lower level roles. What do y'all think? Not anymore. Actually, a higher percentage of women, 37%, hold managerial and supervisory positions as compared to men. Number four, most men think that men should be the primary breadwinner, and women should be the primary caretaker of the home and family. Most men used to think this. 74% of men agreed with this statement in 1977. How many of you were alive in 1977? All right, me too, even though I was young, baby, 2 years old. Most men used to think this, 74% in 1970. Today, however, that number has fallen to only 42%, which happens to be almost exactly the same as the percentage of women who agree with it, 39%. Your opinion of which role are most important, appropriate for men and women to play are no longer determined by your sex. Number five, women would prefer to work for other women. Most wouldn't. That's what he says. In fact, almost twice as many women want to work for men rather than for women. I wonder why. Why? Are we so unhappy? 40% compared to 26%. Number six, if women had more free time, they would feel less stressed. How many of you are still stressed in your free time? I am. How many of you go on vacation and you're still stressed? Come on now, ladies. Let's get real here. It doesn't appear so. According to a 25-year study, each hour of free time doubles a man's feeling of relaxation. I know why. I do. I completely understand that philosophy. But does nothing for a woman's. 1 hour of free time does nothing for us, but for a man, it doubles their feeling of relaxation. That is hilarious. It's because men can shut things off, and we can't. We have such a hard time turning our mind off. We got to learn to do that. Number seven, having children makes women happier. I guess hear some snickers out there. Having women makes women, having children makes women happier. Not necessarily. It turns out that kids are a bundle of stress. All studies link stress and satisfaction with motherhood reveal the same findings. Married mothers are always more stressed and less happy than married women with no kids. That's sad. Oh my gosh, it's so depressing. Number 8, kids want more time with their working moms. I think this one's my favorite one because I am a working mom, and this just really hit home for me. Kids want more time with their working mothers. What do y'all think? Here's what research shows. Not according to the kids. Most mothers think they do, but when 1,000 third graders were asked what they wanted from their mom, only 10% said more time. Their most common request was this: I want my mom to be less stressed and tired. That's really powerful. And that, and you are providing for your family, then you are doing the very best thing for your child. I just want to release you of any guilt or shame that you may feel of raising your children. Because the Bible is very clear that if you do not provide for your household, then you are not in the will of God. One of the best ways you can show love to your child is to provide for them, to provide safety for them. And if you're in a situation where you are the only one providing income, or you have to help support the income for the home, then you are doing the will of God. And it's so important that you release yourself from guilt or shame, and that you do not compare yourself to any other woman, any woman that is able to stay home, that you don't covet what she has. Because there are some women that stay home and they're miserable too. And they beat and yell at their kids all day long. I'm just being real. It is more important for us to do what God has called us to do in obedience to Him and not look to our neighbor, but to have joy and peace and satisfaction in the life that God has put right in front of us, and to love our kids and to love the people in our world, and to fight stress and tiredness, and to make sure that we live a simple enough life that we have energy and strength for the people that matter most. Amen. Thank you. That is worth clapping. Yes, it is. Number 9, women are good at multitasking, and it helps them get everything done. 2 no-nos on this one. First, women are not better than men at multitasking. I know you're shocked at that, because we can cook and clean and hold a baby in a sling and all that all at the same time. And we can talk on the phone and text and drive and listen to sermons and all that all at the same time. These are tests in the lab, mind you, not tests in your home. Second, research shows that your IQ drops 10 points when you try to do 2 tasks at the same time. That's scary right there. So how many of you do 10 things at one time? You've just dropped your IQ by 100%. That is bad. Come on now, ladies. Let's learn to do one thing at a time to keep our IQ up to where it needs to be. Last one. Women do more housework per week than men. Now, that one is true. That one is true. All right. We can stop right there. So, according to the world standards on having a big life, it would be financial success, leadership, influence, prestige, position, marriage, kids, health, beauty, fun, hobbies, all that your heart's desire. But when we look at the research, it shows that with all these opportunities and all the freedoms that women have walked into in America over the last 40 years, we aren't happier as a gender. With all these things and all these opportunities, we are not happier. Since the feminist revolution in 1969, listen to these statistics, 59% of all bachelor degrees and 61% of all master's degree are earned by women. 4 out of 8 Ivy League universities have female presidents: Harvard, Brown, Penn, and Princeton. Women hold more management and supervisory positions than men by a margin of 37 to 31%. But studies show this: We are less happy than men and less happy as we age. We are more likely to feel stressed and rushed, and we consume twice the amount of antidepressant and anti-anxiety medications as men. So why is that? That this big life that's ahead of us, what is it doing to us? My answer to you is this, is we can live a big life in the world's ways and in the world's eyes, and we can be a part of those statistics. Or we can take up our cross and follow Jesus and live the big life that he has for us, spiritually speaking, which may mean that we give up everything the world has to offer and serve him. And our crowns and our glory and our treasures are in heaven. Amen? And we don't have to take antidepressant medication. And we are full of joy and peace and happiness. And all of that is a fruit of the Spirit that's working on the inside of us. So living this big life in this generation means that we should not be in competition with the world. Instead, our goal is to expand our personal capacity year after year, like a beautiful plant that starts off as a seed and it grows, and each year the gardener prunes it and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That should be the goal of our life. That each year our personal capacity grows as we allow more of God on the inside, as we surrender more to him, and we are able to produce more and more and more abundant spiritual fruit for God. It's about being intentional. It's about knowing what to say yes to and knowing what to say no to. Let's not be one of those statistics. We can be women who lead at high levels. I hope you are doctors and lawyers and presidents of Ivy League colleges, but I hope that you do it in the power of God. Amen. And I hope you raise up women coming up behind you and you show them how to do it in the power of God. So the big thought for today is that we cannot live the big life God has for us by doing it in our own strength. We have to live intentionally. We have to love and obey God. And through that, we will live our strongest, most fulfilled life.
Thank you for listening to Celebration Sisterhood. We hope this message has been an inspiration and opened your heart to embracing all that God has for you.